is thinking a little bit about Christmas. Some people celebrate it, some people don't. It's all been a lot of debate about it in my lifetime. But I take this position on it. The Apostle Paul said in one place concerning people that preached or preached God in a false way, and there was false things. And he made a comment and said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ was preached and I rejoice. So that's kind of the way I feel about the whole time. I know that it's a time of buying and a lot of other things mixed into it, and some of it's okay and some of it's not. But to every place that Christ's name is mentioned, for every nativity scene, for every idea that people might have that there was a Savior coming into the world, I'm thankful for it. There is sometimes people do good when they're trying to do bad, because they'll up and mention, oh, there was no such thing as this man called Jesus. They just mentioned Jesus over 2,000 years after he existed, and they're still mentioning his name. Debate ain't bad. They can say that he don't exist or whatever they say. But the fact that Jesus' name's mentioned may cause somebody to wonder who he was. How can we find out about this man called Jesus? So I think about the season and the time, and I think I'm glad for it. I'm glad that there's still a memory, a place that people talk about Jesus, and I hope that it never ends. I hope that there is always people that will talk about Jesus and wonder about him. I think to whatever we do it, it's a good thing. Brother Gordon read from the 9th chapter of Isaiah today. I'd like to look at it too. Oh, let's see. I'll pick it up maybe in the second verse. It says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, you know, folks, I'm glad Jesus came into the world. But Jesus just didn't come for us to have a celebration every once a year. Jesus came into the world to perform a function, to do something. There was something that he had in mind to do, and he wants to do it to every man. And I'm glad for it today. This scripture says that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's what he came to do. But yet not everybody sees a great light, do they? Not everybody's took advantage of this. Many, many people still walk in a darkness. The world's still dark. But folks, there's no excuse to. There's no reason to now. There was a time where there was a reason to. And the scripture goes on and tells about how this happened. But there's a world of darkness all the way around us. But I want to say today, there's no reason to be in darkness today. For this one came that there might be light. This was the purpose, that he might light the soul, that we might be enlightened to truth, to goodness, to things that we couldn't attain to otherwise. He came to do that for the human family, for fallen man that was so deeply affected by sin. That though he wanted to do good, he couldn't really ever accomplish much. But Jesus there was a plan, see. And to those that was in darkness, they saw a great light. You know, light was mentioned quite a bit in the scriptures. Very important thing to have light, both naturally, but more important spiritually, to be able to understand, to know, not just to be out there in darkness. It seems to me like that the world's getting darker in some senses. You know why? Because they're going farther away from God. It will be that way for a nation. It'll be that way for a community. It'll be that way individually. It will be that way. And the more that we put God off, there's a lot of debate in our country today. Talking about economic disaster. Talking about the shootings that go on. People's whether we should ban guns or not ban guns, or what we should do to curtail certain things in society. Folks, I got an answer for them. Don't want to hear it, but I got an answer for them. There's a great light shining. There's a great light shining. That's got the answer to all those problems. See, because the problems is really not all any of those exteriors. You can make a gun, but you got to be in control of it. It's a tool. You can kill somebody with a club or a knife too. But there's a sickness in our society that's growing more and more. The sin sickness is growing more and more. The inroad that the devil is making into our society is becoming stronger and stronger, it seems. People's minds are being more and more affected by the letdown of the social standards of morality. You may not be, I'm not smart enough to set and diagram it out for you. I don't think any of us can do that. But yet we see the effects of turning our backs on God. And you'll see it more and more. I'm not here to preach to all the world because all the world's not here. But we're here. And the same things will happen to us individually that's going to happen collectively. The scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's a standard. That's going to happen. It's got to happen because when God's removed everything that's ungodly is what's left in it. We're desperate today for God. We're desperate for Him. This scripture says that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. A time that only death reigned, and now a great light has shined. You know, we kind of get it wrong sometimes. I noticed even sometimes I've been in many, many spiritual battles with people of God over the years. And, you know, I noticed that we can really get the battle wrong sometimes. The old Jews had it wrong. They knew that there was a Messiah coming, but they thought that he was going to come up and set them an earthly kingdom. And many of them believed that he was going to come to make them have power over the Romans. They believed the prophecies. The prophecies was pretty straightforward about their coming to Christ. And what Christ would do, he's going to be governor. He's going to reign. He was going to do these things. They all thought that was going to be, or many of them thought it was going to be in a fleshly way. And they was going to be able now to subdue those Romans. Boy, they hated them Romans. They was under the bondage and yoke of the Romans. And they wanted out of that. And boy, their day of reckoning was going to be coming in Christ. And that was their hope and all that. And oh, how they had it wrong. That was wrong. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to shine a light. A light into those that walk in that shadow of darkness, in that evil time, in that time of that. And you say, well, I know what they understand. I went out under the oppression. But I want to tell you, Jesus wanted them out from under the oppression too, but it wasn't in the natural that he was going to do it. He was going to come to bring something that was like a light shining in a dark spot. He was going to enlighten the soul. He was going to cause there the capability for a person to love when they ought to hate. They was going to give him the grace to do right when wrong was all the way around him. When it was natural to want to do something bad or take your own way, God was going to have a grace to raise them up out of them. Going to give them light and life in their life. They're going to have more than what they could ever have the other ways. Because see, the truth of it is if you give them the physical victory, they would have still hated in their heart. They would have still been bound and captives. You know what the Christmas season's about? It's about life and hope. I mean, if it's about anything, if you want to take Christmas season, it ain't about just a season. It's about all of our life. It's about all of it. Why did Jesus come? Brother Gordon kind of alluded to it this morning. Jesus didn't come to stay a baby in a manger. That's what we see depicted. But that's not what he came to do. He didn't come to stay a baby. Jesus was born, lived, ministered, died, and was resurrected. That's the plan. We don't accept the baby being born. We accept the sacrifice of the Savior, and in hope and faith, believe that He was resurrected. And that's a light that shines in our souls. Because if He did, then He gives me hope that I'll live too. I'm glad that he did. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. That they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And then it says why this came, the way it came. That's what for, that for there. This is what this is suggesting to our hearts. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. I want to just stop there and go to the thought of, I'll read a little bit of it in the second chapter of Matthew, something that kind of stirred my heart of late. In the second chapter of Matthew, part of the Christmas story, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. That is an amazing story to me. And I'll say it's to me, it's shrouded in mystery. I don't understand. I don't know. There's not a whole lot that people say about this because there's not a whole lot written there. But somewhere, supposed in Persia somewhere, there's the wise men. And when, you know, we see the nativity scene, a lot of times we see these three wise men there, these three kings. Well, they wasn't there. That's all put together as trying to depict the whole Christmas story, but these three wise men definitely wasn't there. They wasn't there that night. But they came. And how did they know? This just amazes me. How did they know? What got to them? These were almost definitely Gentiles. They come from the east, suggesting that they come a long distance, probably from Persia somewhere. Probably was many, many days, if not weeks, months, and possibly over a year's journey for them to get there. It was a long time. But how did they know to come? They said they saw a star. There's a star. These were people that watched stars. They watched they had understandings of things. No doubt through the ancient, maybe handed down through the years or something, there was the idea that there was a Messiah, the Christ, the King, the Savior of the world's coming. And they had some understanding. There was many, many prophecies about this. And it went back to a long time. And no doubt there was some understanding in these men. And some say they were astrologers. They watched the stars and those things. And a star appeared. A star appeared. And they had something in them that said, the time has come. The time's come. Again, it's a mystery. I don't know all about it. I don't know. Did it come from Abraham? Where did it come from? Where was the knowledge? Where was the understanding? But they had an understanding in their heart that the king's born. And they traveled and traveled to get there. And they followed the star. And this brings such hope to my heart. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because God made a way. That's why God pointed the way to himself. He didn't leave it abstract to these men. He said, here, it's done, it's now, here it is, there's a star. You know, this could be trivial. This could be trivial. I mean, why even put this in there? What's the meaning of this? But you know, there was a star. And these men led them. They saw the star. I'm going to ask this question. Who else saw it? Who else saw it? There was a star there, but it doesn't say anyone else saw it. Oh, it was there. You could have looked up. Folks, the very people that should have saw it never looked up to see it. It doesn't seem that they did. You know, Jesus lights our way. Your problem, your difficulties, your places in life, Christ wants to light that, and I know where he's going to bring you. He's going to bring you to himself. He's going to bring you to his spirit. You're going to get what he has. when you get there. That's what he wants to bring you to. There was a star, okay, and these wise men traveled. They followed this, and they get to Jerusalem, and you notice their language. They didn't say, is there a king born? Will something special happen here? No, they said, where is he? Where is he? For we've seen the star. We've seen it. We know that he's here. You know, in my mind, if you'll give me liberty, I think these men were, I think they run into something that they didn't know they was wrong. I think these men really thought that they was coming to a great demonstration of the people of this event. I think that they thought that they was coming and surely the world would be worshiping. Surely the world would be, surely the Jewish nation would be worshiping their own king. But they wasn't. They came, and the very ones that should have saw the star and knew what it meant never saw it at all. It was oblivious to them. They come and they're brought there and said, they come to Jerusalem and said, where is he? And if I may, give me liberty. And why ain't you all doing something? Where is he? And they was like, what are you saying? We've seen his star. We've seen his star. We saw the light. We've come to find Christ. And yet all of those, think of that. Do you know that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world? Do you know that right now our congressmen, our senators, our president, our judges, our systems, our everybody in authority and place can find Christ the same as we can? The star still shines. The way still shines. The answer is still there. Just as it's always been, it's still there. God made a way for them. It says here, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. One of them wise men must have scratched their head and said, Herod? You don't even know that the time has come? You're the king, and you don't even know? They must have been a little delusional about that time, about what the whole thing was about. Where's he at? Where's he at? So the Herod, he says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and Jerusalem with him. That's a strange thought, isn't it? Why would you be troubled at the coming, the promise, the coming of the light of salvation? The king's troubled, and not only the king, but all Jerusalem's troubled, because here comes these three wise men and gives them a little bit of truth that they ain't willing to get yet. The Christ has been born. The Messiah has come. Instead of rejoicing, they're troubled. You know why? Do you know why we have such a battle over people wanting to take down the Ten Commandments? Because there's a little light shines through them yet. Do you know why people don't want to see the nativity scene on a courthouse lawn? Because there's a little light shines through that. That's why. They don't want to see the light. It troubles them. It's a troubling thing. Their spirit gets troubled because there is the understanding and the knowledge that something's coming, and it's going to be light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want that to shine on them. What somebody said one time, what, name me which one of the Ten Commandments hurts our society. It's not what hurts society. It's what hurts the flesh. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to thy neighbor. Thou shalt not commit adultery. A little light just shine to trouble you. Oh, Herod should have been troubled. The life that he had. He was troubled. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That was the prophecy. When then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, that's why he wanted to do that, was because he wanted to know who to get rid of and how far back he had to go. If they had said they saw it at a certain time, and a certain time 2.5 years ago, he had went to about 3 years. He ended up going to about 2 years down the time it was all said and done because of the time that the wise men said the star appeared. Because that star appeared when Christ was born. And that would tell them how old he was. He says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, this is the way this sounds. They followed the star, and it brought them to Jerusalem. It sounds like they didn't have no star to follow then. So they went and asked, where is Christ to be born? Where's he at? They said, through the prophecy, he's supposed to be in Bethlehem. But we ain't Bethlehem, we're in Jerusalem. Well, we know that the Bethlehem Jerusalem road goes to Bethlehem. There's no trouble to get to Bethlehem now. But this sound, there's something here. You ever doubt? You ever have a doubt? And the devil ever come to you and make you wonder about your experience? Yeah, everyone probably has in one way or another. I wonder what these guys must have been being tempted by, saying, "Oh, no, we saw we start. These people ain't rejoicing. We thought we'd come and the whole nation would be rejoicing and we'd stand in a line to get to see it. And there ain't anybody in here even know anything. Could we have missed it? I mean, what is this? This don't even sound right here." But they come back out and they're going to get ready to go to Bethlehem, and guess what they saw again? The star came again. And it sounds different because now it says they rejoiced. It done to see it again. To have the confirmation. Once again, we followed it for months. We've gone and now it's been gone, but we're looking for this Christ. We're searching for him. We know it was there in the stars, and it was something divine and different, and it was a light that lighteth all men, and I'm going to get it. And they made their way, but now they got men's words and confusions and those kind of things, and they step out and they get ready and they're going to go, and now the star appears again. Got a confirmation. This isn't, folks, this star was not just a star that runs through the galaxy. No, this was something divine God had set there for these men to go, and they followed. And they was able to see it again, the divine part of it. They rejoiced because God had spoke with them again and dealt with them again. Folks, you know what I found in my experience? That's what God does with us. He comes with the confirmation that this is right. He comes and shines the light again to light it again. God wants us to have the understanding, the knowledge of salvation in our hearts. He wants to light everybody. Then why isn't everybody lit? Because people don't look up to see it. It's there. It's there in your experience. You don't have to go on short rations. You don't have to go in darkness. You don't have to wonder what's right or wrong. He come to light of every man into the right way. But you know what it takes? It took what these wise men had. They was going to find Christ. I like the story of these wise men because they went ahead. We'll read the story. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Some suppose he probably was walking by then, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That sounds so signalness of purpose to me. I mean, they come all the way from Persia. Hey, let's go back to Jerusalem for a while and enjoy some nightlife. Or, hey, let's at least take a 2-week tour and do some sightseeing. But the way this sounds was is that they went and done what they, and they worshiped and they gave that, and then they returned home. On the same long journey they came on, they went, that's what they had come to do. It was the purpose of their heart to find Christ. And they wasn't disappointed, folks, and God ain't gonna leave you disappointed either. He won't leave you disappointed. He's got a light to lighteth every man with. You have a desire in your life to know something. I believe with all my heart, God's not going to leave you not knowing a spiritual lesson. God's going to work in your life. God wants to work in your life. Folks, you got a star hung on you. You got a star there at your life. You got something to follow. It's Christ. He'll lead you to Christ. He wants to do it. And it makes it more to understand even what these men were thinking about and coming all that way. It wasn't trivial. I think this story was to go down through the ages to allow us to know that God will not forsake a seeking heart. They was back there in that time and they didn't have even a fraction of the understanding and the Word of God and all that we had, but they had something. They had a prophecy from the ancient time and they saw a star appear. And they knew what it meant, that there was the king was going to be born. How deep it was, I don't know. But they had a desire in their heart to go worship the king. Not just the king of the Jews. This was the king of creation. They went to worship the Son of God. And God made a way for them to do it. I believe with all my heart that no matter where a soul is in this world, from the depths of poverty to the highest man in riches, to the darkest bush, to the enlightened cities. If a man wants God, he'll hang a star for him. He'll make a path. He'll make a way through the circumstances of life to get him to God. Because I'll say in my own testimony, that's what he done for me. It seemed like it was against the odds. But he did it. He worked it, and I was able to find the longing of my heart. And it says, and they give their gifts. You know what else that speaks to me? They played their part. They played their part. They had a part. And as insignificant as it might seem, they played their part in God's history. They done it. They brought the gifts unto God. They so desired to do it. Can you imagine wanting to give something away so bad that you go through what they did to do it? Most of the time you have to be prodded and poked to get rid of something. These men had something they wanted to give God, and they went to great depths to do it. The gift that they had to give to the Lord. Folks, we live in a dying world. People are dying without God. We have a time. Don't give up yet in this thing. We have a time now that God wants to call us to bring people to Christ. We got gifts. We got something to bring to God too. Lord, help us today. I want to go back to the original scripture, Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born. Sure started out small then, didn't it? Seems like God loved to do it that way. Didn't have a lot of glamour to it. Not a lot of flash. He never intended it. I think there's a scripture that says that he was not comely to look upon. He could have made him one of the most beautiful, outstanding men and that you would have just been drawn to in the flesh. He did not want to be. Can anybody tell me here how tall Jesus was? You don't know, do you? How heavy was he? I mean, we know some of about of what he must have maybe could have looked like being of Jewish origin, but what can you say of the man? Was he strong built? Was he weak? Was he thin? Was he what was he? And why didn't the Lord tell? You know, if somebody says to me, well, explain Brother Gordon to me. I ain't sure who it was. Well, I explain what he looks like. That's the way we look. Well, Brother Gordon, he wears glasses. His hair is gray. I am telling something like that. What can you say of Jesus? Is there anything that you can hang your eye on other than some artist's depiction that he had? A 50th, I think, of Isaiah says something about they plucked the hair from his, maybe, but other than that, you don't know that he had a beard. And there's nothing says he did or that he didn't, or that he's, did he have big ears or little? I mean, did he have a big nose or what can you say of Jesus? Huh? He wasn't pretty. But what, you know, the Lord did that purpose. You want me to explain Jesus to you the way the Lord wanted us to see him and explain him? He's love. He's long-suffering and he's kind. He's merciful. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. Oh, he said he was uncomely. Yeah, only to the eyes. But to my soul, he's beautiful. He was a beautiful person. Beautiful. He cared. He was compassionate. He was a compassionate person. I ain't explaining him. I know who he is. Unto us a child is born. God's gonna give humankind a gift of light. It came in a son. It came in a child to be born. That he had light around him to those that looked. You remember when he came and there was a man in the temple, I think when he brought Jesus to circumcise him, if I'm not mistaken. They brought him in the temple and there was a man in the temple at the time named Simeon. And Simeon saw him. Simeon, who told you? Who told you? The same one that told the wise men told him. He said that he could die now for my eyes would beheld the consolation of Israel. How do you know, Simeon? Because something burns inside me. I've been lighted by it. This is the son. This is the child. This is the one. Got some light and some understanding has penetrated this darkness. The darkness of the human condition. I have a sadness for our country, for our people, for the people around us. For the ignorance that they have. It isn't bitterness to me. It truly is an understanding that there's ignorance that I once walked in. Because I listen to what they say sometimes and I'm just astounded by it. It is so far from anything that'll make them happy and truly fulfill them. And they hang to it. They hang to it. It won't fulfill them. Lord, help us. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful. It says the government shall be upon his shoulders. Shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to shoulder it. I'm thankful that he does. I'm glad that there's a governor. It goes beyond that. He's not just governor of a little place. He's governor. Understand that he's governor. This governor told, you know who he subjects? God, the governor is governor of the universe. His subject is everything. He one time rose from a ship and said to the winds that was boisterous and the waves that was boisterous, peace be still. He's governor. And when he did tell it, it laid down because he's governor. When he tells sickness to flee, it flees. When he tells devils to flee, they flee. He's governor. When he tells your habit to leave, it'll leave. See? He's got grace and power. He's a governor. And he's a governor of it all. He's a governor of your life if you'll let him be governor. He's a governor. Thank the Lord. And his name shall be called. Names are important. Name. His name. Again, identification. Who am I? I'm Marty. You say, well, if somebody says, well, Brother Marty, you all probably think, right there, I know who he is, right there, that's what he is. Names mean something. He has a name. This is his name. He's Wonderful. Oh, Wonderful. That's his name. That's the identifying factor that he wanted us to realize. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give mankind a gift. Governor of the universe is going to come down and share your pain with you. He's going to share your life with you. He's going to enlighten your life and make you to understand. And we understand differently than we've ever understood before. I don't have to be torn down and wallow in the muck and mire of sin and of selfishness. I can see above it. can see above it. The light lightens me tonight, and understand that instead of thinking that people's always something personal against me, the old devil's just got them. Old devil's got them. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. I need that counselor. I need somebody to go to and help me out. And he's been willing. I got some answers for you. You know what a counselor is? Counselor, somebody go and ask questions about. Got any answers here? Yeah, he's a counselor. He's not somebody who just keeps it to himself either. He wants to tell you what the answers is. A counselor. I'm getting more and more as we go here. The mighty God. The everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Well, thank the Lord for it, because everything I know of has a place that it'll run out. It'll run out. Resources run out. Power runs out. I have a vehicle and it does real well, as long as it got gas in it. Gas runs out. Everything I know in life runs out. My strength runs out. My fortitude runs out. Yours does too. But he don't run out. His government's not going to end. Of all the governments of the world we've looked and saw, and we can look back through history and see the great governments, and the Greeks once ruled the world, and the Babylonians once ruled the world, and the Romans once ruled the world, and they don't rule anymore. And now that another one rules here and another one rules there, this one will always rule. For its kingdom will never end. And he came to shine a light, and still today, I'm thankful for it. There's a light still shining. And you and I can go to that kingdom and we can lead others there. Thankful for the light of God today. I just appreciate what he's done for my life, thankful that he's been willing to do that, thankful that there's been something, and the hope that I still have of the light that shines. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I was just like them old wise men was in their day, or were in their day, and I get kind of wondering about which way I should go and what it was, and it seemed like I don't see the light anymore, and I don't know what to do, and then I go, and all of a sudden, there's the light again. There it is. The Lord shines it for me again, and see it again. We have a song that says, through darkest nights and brazen sky, is pierced by faith's unfailing eye. There will be a light shine in the eye of faith to get us through every storm. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.